Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. It's good to see so many of you out tonight as we observe the Lord's Supper. Jesus commanded, "Do this in remembrance of me." And tonight I would like to speak about that word remembrance. Hebrews chapter 10. Let us hear the word of God. "For the law, since it is only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never by the same sacrifices year by year, which they offer continually, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have had consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder or a remembrance of sins year by year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, 'Sacrifice and offering thou hast not desired, but a body thou hast prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast taken no pleasure.' Then I said, 'Behold, I have come. In the roll of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God.' And after saying above, 'Sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast not desired, nor hast thou taken pleasure in them which are offered according to the law,' then he said, 'Behold, I have come to do thy will.' He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws upon their heart, and upon their mind I will write them,' he then says, 'And their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more.' Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near." Let us pray. Help us tonight, Father, as we come into your presence to take the supper that our Lord established for us. to do this in remembrance of him and that once for all sacrifice that he offered upon the tree. We thank you for his resurrection from the dead, which we have sung about tonight. We have read scriptures about it. We ask as we take the supper tonight that in this service, as we remember what he did for us, that we would leave this place as Christian soldiers, faithful and true, going forth with him and for him in faith, cleansed from our sin, given the gift of eternal life, and now having a life before us of witness and ministry in his name. We ask that you would give us purpose as we take the supper tonight. Consolidate our minds and our hearts at the cross of Jesus Christ. But we ask that you would help us to remember that he is not here, he is risen. He has ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He is interceding for his people, praying for us, watching over our lives, protecting us, keeping us, helping us in ways that are far beyond our ability to imagine or to number. The Bible says, Father, that your thoughts toward us are more than the sand of the sea. And we ask that you would give us a true look at the cross of Jesus Christ and see how far you would go to pledge your love and your faithfulness to us. And that as a result, how far we should go to pledge our love and faithfulness to you. Help us to live by faith, to not close our eyes to the sadness and sin that is in this world, but to be able to look full face into fallen man's eyes and even the weakness of your people. Have hope in a risen Lord that carries us through and enables us to persevere and be a faithful, positive witness of him in this life till the next comes. Forgive us when we forget the simple things of Christ, that he is the Son of God, that he walked these hills as we walk, that he was tempted in every point as we are, yet without sin, that he's able to come to the aid of those that are tempted, that he was crucified to pay for every sin of every one of his people, that he is risen from the dead, and though we cannot see him with our eyes now, we see him in the scriptures, and we shall see him face to face one day. Help us to live by faith and believe these things. As we rise in the morning, as we walk out our door in the day, and as we come home at night and lay our head on the pillow of God's grace. And as we take this supper tonight, we ask that you would help us to remember what we're supposed to remember and do this in remembrance of him. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. This evening I want to bring a brief little study on a word that Jesus used when he instituted the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians 11 it records that he said at the supper, "Do this in remembrance of me." And I want to talk about that word remembrance for a few minutes tonight. It's a word that when you try to understand its meaning is made up of two words. The first word is again, and the second word is memory. And it really means remember again. Bring to your memory again and again and again. But what are we to remember? He said, do this in remembrance of me, who I am, what I did, what I am doing now, and what I shall yet do. Everything about him and his person and his work, we are to remember over and over again as Christians. Now, in trying to understand what that word remembrance, do this in remembrance of me, means, I looked it up in my concordance, and it's only used in a few places in the New Testament. It's used in those accounts of the Lord's Supper where he said, do this in remembrance of me. Memory again, remember again. And one other place, and that is in Hebrews 10, verse 3. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance of sins year by year. That's the only other place that it's used in the New Testament. The remembrance of the people of Israel was very burdensome. The sacrifices that they brought down to the temple, that the priests took and placed upon the altar, caused them to have to remember again and again and again their sins. Once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest offered up to God a sacrifice for the atonement of all the sins of Israel. And until that time came, they had to remember their sins. And when that sacrifice was offered upon the altar, it reminded them of their sins year by year by year by year. Over and over again, the priest would offer the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement, and yet Israel had not repented of their sins. They still worshiped false gods, immoral gods, fertility gods on the high places, on the hills and the mountainsides, and yet they would come down to the temple on the Day of Atonement, and the priest would offer up the sacrifice on behalf of the people for the remembrance of their sins. Their remembrances, as they lived their life, were burdensome. They had to remember what verse 1 says. For the law, since it is only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never by the same sacrifices, year by year, which they offer continually, make perfect those who draw near. The sacrifices of the temple could not make perfect those who draw near. They were offered in great glory. The priest wore his robes, and he carried upon his breast the breastplate, the ephod, that had the 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel, and he would go in with the blood of the sacrifice, and he would go into the very holy place, the outer part of that inner tent, and then he would go into the Holy of Holies behind the veil, and he would sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice upon the Ark of the Covenant where the mercy seat was, bearing upon his breast the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And there was gold on the mercy seat. It was of solid gold. There was glory with the robes of the priest. There was pomp and circumstance with the sacrifices and the way that God ordered the sacrifice to be made. And yet, that glorious pageant of sacrifice could not take away sins nor make perfect the conscience of those who draw near. The only way that it could bring any comfort to their hearts is if they were enabled by God to see that the blood of a bull or a goat cannot take away sins. It is not enough to offer God an animal for the sins of a man and expect atonement and forgiveness. And they had to see that by faith, that it would take the lifeblood of a man to pay for the sins of a man. And as they somehow looked beyond the sacrifice that God had provided and trusted that God would provide the sacrifice like he told Abraham, and trusted in that God, they had mercy and forgiveness, but not in the sacrifice itself. So it could not make perfect those who draw near. There was a remembrance of sins year after year after year. In verse 2, it says, otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered because the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have had consciousness of sins? The sacrifices of Israel could not remove the consciousness of sins. They knew that the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sins. And God told them that in the Old Testament. Sacrifice and offering thou hast not desired. Jesus said in Psalm 40, in whole burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, thou hast taken no pleasure, he said. But a body thou hast prepared for me. The blood of bulls and goats could never take away sins, could never cleanse the consciousness and the consciences of the people of Israel. And they remembered year after year their sins. And the sacrifices themselves in verse 3 reminded them of their sins year by year by year. They had a remembrance of sin, year by year by year. And that there is nothing that could take away their sins unless they believe in the provision that God would bring in the future. On the other hand, we are to have a different remembrance. We are to do this in remembrance of him. In verse 1, it says that those other sacrifices could not make perfect those who draw near. But in verse 11 of this chapter, we have a promise. And every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sins which can never take away sins, same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. In the first verse, the sacrifices of Israel could not make perfect those who draw near, and they had to remember that. But in the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross, 2,000 years ago, we see that all who place faith in him alone, by his one sacrifice, God has perfected for all time. In Jesus Christ, sinners are accepted by God in his perfections as if they were perfect. We're to remember that. All they could remember is that they were not made perfect. We are called to remember that in him we are made perfect. We're accepted in the beloved, forgiven, cleansed, and made a child of God. In verse 2, it says there's a continued consciousness of sins. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered because the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have had consciousness of sins? But they retained a consciousness of sins. There was something missing in the sacrifices of Israel that could not, they knew that there was just not enough offered there to cleanse their consciences of sin. But look at what we have as a promise in verse 19. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, not of works, but of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We who have a once for all sacrifice through the blood of Jesus offered for us so long ago have been given the privilege of going behind the true veil, the veil of heaven, and entering into the presence of God and believing that our consciences have been cleansed from the evil thoughts and evil deeds that we have done. What have you done? What have you done in your life that you would be ashamed of before God, horrified if it were written up here on the blackboard for all to see? What have you thought? What have you felt? What have you said? What have you done? Is there any hope for you? Is there any way you can stand before God face to face and look him in the eye again? Is there any place where these things that you have done and I have done can be so thoroughly atoned for that they are, as it were, washed from our consciousness and from our conscience, that we may no longer bear the burden of guilt and shame before a perfect and holy God? Is there any way, is there any place that people like us can be accepted by God? The answer to that Bible is yes. All those who stand at the cross of Jesus Christ and by faith take hold of his atonement on their behalf shall have their hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and washed down the drain of death. What a glorious freedom. What a happy day when things that we are ashamed to even speak of or think of now that we once did are no longer held to our account. And the oddest thing of all is that God says in verse 6:17, because of Christ's atonement, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. We're to remember that when we come to the Lord's Supper. Do this in remembrance of me. A sacrifice has been offered to make perfect all who draw near to him. A sacrifice has been offered that the consciousness of sins may no longer have to be remembered. A sacrifice has been offered to cleanse the conscience of sins so that now the freedom and the joy of one forgiven by the grace of God, through the blood of Christ, and taken hold of by faith, can be known. Is that what you think about at the Lord's Supper? What great love rested in his heart as he appeared before his Father with us upon his breast and sprinkled his own blood for the cleansing and forgiveness of our sins and conscience. Do this in remembrance of me, he said. Remember the completeness and finality of his once for all sacrifice for all who place their trust and faith in him to save them. Remember how complete his atonement is, that people like us can again look into the face of God and believe once again that those terrible sins that we've repented of and confessed before God have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. What a happy people we should be. I purposefully picked all the hymns tonight at the Lord's Supper to be joyful hymns. Onward, Christian soldiers. Arise, my soul, arise. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him and unto the Lamb. Who is on the Lord's side? Who for him will go? The Lord's Supper has so many facets to it. I fail in all the times that I've preached on it to exhaust its depths and its teachings. There are times when we need to come with mourning and grief and to see the shame that he bore on our behalf. But there are times we need to come to the Lord's Supper with joy and thanksgiving and believe what he said upon the cross as he breathed his last breath. It is finished. It is finished. And rejoice in the salvation that has been purchased for poor sinners at so great a cost that none of us could pay by ourselves. And be amazed that it is by simple faith and trust in him and repentance from our sins that all of the blessings promised in the supper are ours, and ours every day and from now on. No wonder we should live by faith. Walk by faith. Live in Christ. Rejoice in the Lord always. And do this in remembrance of him. If you're not a Christian, the supper is not for you. Because you still need to come to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And end the war between you and him. And bow down to him. And confess your sins to him and repent. And plead that he would have mercy as he promised upon all who come to him. And believe that his blood atones for all sin. And begin a new life with a new walk by faith in Christ every day, believing that you are right with God through him, not through yourself, and committed to following him out the doors of this church. And those of us who have found a refuge, a rock, a Savior, a brother, a friend, a Lord, and a King. As we take this supper and do this in remembrance of him, we're to remember all that he did. But we're to remember that he did it all for us. And walk out the doors of this church and live in remembrance of him. Jesus Christ has shown us in the supper how gracious and kind he is, how complete his salvation is, and what an incentive it should be to cause us to live each day as he has commanded us to and called us to. Will you come to the supper tonight and do this in remembrance of him? Let us pray. We thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ our Lord. As we consider what the people of Israel in the Old Testament remembered year by year as they observed the continual efforts of the priest, offering sacrifice after sacrifice, offering after offering, yet retaining in their consciences a remembrance of sin, a guilty conscience, that only those who looked beyond those sacrifices and had faith in the provision that God would provide a sacrifice had peace. We ask, Father, that you would help us to look at the cross of Christ, Christ and Him crucified, and understand what He did there for us and how complete and effectual that salvation was. And that all who trust in Him have a God who remembers our sins no more, who cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and who cleanses the consciences of those who believe in the atonement of Jesus for their actions. We ask that you would help us to bask in the joy and freedom of forgiveness, acceptance, and love. And that we would each day live in remembrance of the great things He has done for us, so that we will have the incentive and motive and power to do great things for Him. Help us to clean up our homes. We pray tonight that we as husbands would look at this supper and repent of the times and the things that we have done against our wives, the things that we have not done in leading them spiritually, that you would cleanse us of all unrighteousness through the blood of Christ and help us to go back into our homes with new hope and determination to be spiritual leaders. We pray for ourselves as wives as we look at the supper, that you would help us to trust you more than our husbands, to forgive them of their faults, to follow them as far as we can, and that you would forgive us and cleanse our consciences of the disrespectful thoughts and attitudes that we have had. As fathers and mothers, we ask that you'd help us to look at the table tonight and repent of those times when we've not been good examples of our children, to our children, when we've not taught them as we should and pointed them to Christ, when we have been sinful against them. And ask that you'd help us to look at this table and remember what Christ did so long ago, to repent and return, to love our children and to teach them God's word and to be examples of them, for them as they live in this world, and to believe that there is forgiveness and a new start every day in Christ. And as children and workers and employers and Christians in every station and place in life, every conceivable situation, we ask that you would help us to look at the supper of Christ, but remember what it represents. Our gracious Lord Jesus, who suffered so for poor sinners, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, to take us to heaven when He comes, and to help us to live Christian lives on earth in between. Help us to do this in remembrance of Him, not only to take the supper, but in our life to live in remembrance of Him. And to do as Paul told Timothy, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, Son of David, according to my gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.